in the red. We had a jazz version of Darling Nikki there, originally by Prince from the album Purple Rain, but this version we heard was by Brett Farkas.
That's right. So that was a digital single that was released last year, and I really like that rendition. And, you know, I kind of, like, toyed between some various versions of this one, but I really felt, of all the genres we're covering with this tribute to Prince's Purple Rain record, we didn't really encompass jazz that much, and I wanted to touch upon that, because there's been a lot of jazz renditions of Prince songs, and from this album in particular. Now, that song does have quite an infamous legacy. Do you know much about it?
Well, we did play a version without the lyrics.
Specifically because of what the lyrics wrought into the world of music.
Yes, it's quite...
I don't know how to say it.
You say it.
Well, it's a very saucy song. Like, there is a lot of talking about people doing things to themselves in front of other people that I cannot actually give full descriptions of on the radio. But basically, long story short, Tipper Gore, that's right, wife of Al Gore, who was the vice president at the time, she walked into her daughter's room while she was playing this song. But let me just reel back. I said at the time. No, in 1984, Al Gore was not the vice president, but he was within the Senate, and he was going to be vice president one day. But Tipper Gore was aghast at these lyrics that she was hearing from what her daughter was playing, and she just didn't understand how popular music could get away with this. So she went into this huge session with her husband, Al Gore, and basically ended up creating the parental advisory label that would adorn lyrics, so much music there on end. And really, it's all in its own way thanks to this song, all the controversy that stemmed from that. And of course, there are some other big songs that led to that, but this was one of the first ones where there was a Senate meeting about, quote-unquote, indecency and obscenity in the lyrics of the song. Now, again, we talked about how forward-thinking and how boundary-pushing Prince was. Like, you can't get much more boundary-pushing than the Senate having a meeting over the lyrics of one of your songs.
A little bit of a history lesson there.
Absolutely, but a very crucial one. Another great song that I love from this album, like, I love all of them, but this one in particular, Computer Blue, there's rumored to be various versions of this, including a type of Devo version. And this one, I think, kind of stemmed closer to that, a version of the band of Montreal doing Computer Blue, which was released as a single in 2016 that was released as a tribute that year that Prince passed away. Prior to that, we heard some music from Dump. And Dump, if you don't know, is actually a group that's helmed by James McNew, who's the bass player from Yola Tango. And this has been a project for him just to basically release some four-track recording sessions of his, along with the various other musicians and cast of characters. So this comes from a 2001 release, which is a complete Prince tribute album. I can't say the full title, but it's, you'll get the gist of it. That Skinny MF'er with the High Voice. That was the name of the album. We heard Dump's version of The Beautiful Ones, which is this really great, kind of a laconic indie rock version. Very soft feeling, almost ethereal, like you're floating on a cloud. I really like that. Which contrasted very nicely with what we heard before, that hot, sort of peppy version of Take Me With You. We heard that from Sharon Jones.
Yeah, Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. It's from 2009. Came from the Purplish Rain compilation album, which was a Prince tribute album.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started off things with the Polecats, a rockabilly band, covering Let's Go Crazy, the first track on the album. That's from 92, and the album's name was Nine. I'm assuming it's tying into the Nine Lives cat thing.
I am imagining so as well.
But we should also, like we talked about it a little bit, but like it's really not that far of a stretch for a rockabilly band to cover Prince or a jazz band, because Prince did do songs that had rockabilly in it, did do songs that had jazz. He did everything.
He did, and I think subsequent records would show how far he could break out and deal with different genres. Like, country was one, obviously, he did record quite a bit of, even though he may not have released a lot of it in his lifetime. Apparently, there are just hours and hours of him doing country-style songs in recording sessions from Paisley Park and his other recording sessions as well. He would dive into gospel. He would dive into like proto electronica and almost proto trip hop, doing rock, almost like getting heavy with like near metal songs as well. So, you know, Prince, he was not shy to try all sorts of genres, which to me makes it very fitting that so many bands from a wide range of genres would end up paying tribute to Prince in one form or another. Although one band I was surprised about, but I'm so glad that they decided to cover this song, was The Pursuit of Happiness. They did something for their compilation record, When We Ruled. A lot of bands do this. They'll record a one-off song when they have a compilation for like a best of or greatest hits comp. But they did a rendition of When Doves Cry, which is fantastic. We're going to hear their version of that before we hear the rest of Purple Rain as covered by other artists, and also a demo, the sole demo that we could really find of Prince recording a song for this record. So we're going to get to that in this next set.
Dig, if you will, a picture of you and I engaged in a kiss. The sweat of your body covers me. Can you, my darling, can you picture this?
Something you will never understand. forgive you by and by, 'cause you
I know times have changed.